Good morning and welcome to WMNF's Midpoint, your midweek, mid-morning news and public affairs show where we examine world and national news through a local perspective. I'm Janet Scherberger.
And I'm Shelley Reback.
And we have the fabulous Frank answering our phones today. So if you have questions or comments, give us a call at 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. You can also text us at 813-433-0885. Today, Omicron. It's sweeping the globe. So our question for you, WMNF listeners, how is COVID affecting your holiday plans in 2021? Are you COVID weary and back to your usual traditions? Or are you canceling plans, gathering only with the vaccinated, or asking people to get tested before gathering? What's safe? Today, to discuss the current state of the pandemic is Dr. Michael Tang from the USF College of Medicine. Thank you for being with us here in the studio today.
Thank you for having me.
And later in the hour, we'll have Linda and Ryan Barrick with us to talk about how they planned a bar mitzvah in the midst of a pandemic. We'd love to hear your stories and concerns and solutions, listeners. So give us a call. Call up with your questions or comments at 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org or text us at 813-433-0885. So Dr. Tang, tell us, with Omicron in the news, the president was on TV yesterday, gave an address yesterday talking about it, urging people to get vaccinated, talking about distributing tests all around the country. How concerned should we be about Omicron? We know it's really spreading, but it seems like people are not getting as sick with this as they were with some of the other variants.
I think when we see infection with Omicron, we see a lot of infection in vaccinated people. And being vaccinated will decrease symptoms if you get infected. This virus seems to be spreading very rapidly, more rapidly than any of the previous variants. We're not really sure why, but it spreads even in vaccinated people who have been boosted or in people who have had vaccination but a while ago. The good thing is that the disease is much less severe in those people. The unvaccinated, though, are still seeing the same sort of disease that they had with the other variants that we've seen.
And why, and not to be cold, but I feel like that a lot of people feel like if you choose not to be vaccinated, that's a risk that you choose to take. You might get sick, more sick than other people. Why should the general public care about that?
Well, to be clear, some of our unvaccinated are kids. They're not able to be vaccinated, right? So anybody, any kid under five cannot be vaccinated yet. And, you know, the rollout of the vaccine for the 5 to 11-year-olds has been a little bit slower, so some of them are only partially immune. We should protect our kids. I mean, this is really, they don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. We choose for them.
Well, I wonder, too, you know, the thing that has always concerned me is if you're an adult and you make a choice not to be vaccinated and you get sick, oh, well, you know, too bad, so sad for you. But to respond to Janet's question, I think the bigger concern for someone like me who is fully vaccinated, boosted, you know, practically immortal at this point, is that if I have a stroke or something and I go to the hospital having nothing to do with COVID, my care at that hospital may well be affected by the burdens placed on the healthcare system by the people who choose not to be vaccinated. That's what I'm really, you know, upset about in terms, that's where my lack of empathy, you know, comes in for the people who choose. I'm not talking about kids who obviously can't mm-hmm. make that choice, but adults who make a conscious choice to choose not to be vaccinated and expose the healthcare system to a crisis.
Yeah, and what Shelley was saying, that's what I'm talking about. People who can get vaccinated who choose not to. You obviously can't have a lot of empathy for those people out there who can't get vaccinated
right.
for one reason or another. That is a horrible position to be in. But if you can and you choose not to, hard to have sympathy. And back to Shelley's question, mm-hmm. what about that burden on the healthcare system? What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is, the fact of the matter is, you know, as tired as we may be of wearing masks, you know, healthcare workers have been seeing this for almost 2 years now. These frontline workers have experienced a lot of disease and death in kind of just horrendous conditions where they have patients sat in the hallways because they can't really admit them all at once. You know, even having people to sit in ambulances outside to wait because they can't get them into the emergency department. So it's taken a real mental toll and physical toll on our healthcare workers, and that doesn't improve our care if we go to the hospital. The other thing that happens is during these surges where we have waves of infection, a lot of hospitals and hospital systems stop doing elective surgeries. And when you hear that word, elective surgeries, a lot of times you think, oh, this is
nose
job, tummy tuck, something like that, right? Those are not elective surgeries that we're talking about. These are serious medical problems that can be delayed. This is a brain tumor surgery, for example.
Hmm.
Brain tumors grow a little bit slowly. If you can't get people in,
you can
delay that surgery while this surge of COVID is going on. So elective surgeries, you know, that word doesn't really mean what I think a lot of people think it means.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And a lot of people in the healthcare system have quit, have left, or have tried to get, you know, jobs that are ancillary to being in a hospital setting because it's just, like you say, it's just too much.
Right. And it's, you know, we talk about not enough beds in the hospitals. Space is really kind of a secondary issue. It's the personnel. Mm-hmm. You can't put so many patients on a single healthcare provider, right? You have somebody in the ICU, an ICU nurse probably takes care of two, maybe three patients. When you start having these surges of infections, then they have to take care of more. First off, you know, they have more distractions, so the quality of care necessarily has to go down. Second off, they just get completely burnt out.
Mm. So all these people who choose not to get vaccinated, you know, that one of the things that may affect their care too. I mean, even if they don't get COVID, if they're one of these people that think it's a hoax or something, do they think a heart attack is a hoax or a stroke or break a leg or
car accident?
Yeah.
Just accidents happen.
I mean, right, exactly. They could be affected by this too. Mm-hmm. And their own status is one of the things that may be affecting their diminished care in a hospital setting. So one of the questions that I know Janet and I have discussed outside the show, I want to pose to you is, you know, what do you think people who are vaccinated and boosted should do, or how should we respond to people in our lives who are these people who are choosing not to be vaccinated? Not the ones that can't get vaccinated, legitimately have medical, you know, reasons for not being vaccinated or are underage or what have you, but people who just say, no, I'm choosing not to be vaccinated. How should we respond to them? I mean, there's been a bunch of studies, I think, recently about, you know, shaming them or presenting them with facts does not work, apparently, according to the studies. They have their own set of information. I won't call it facts, but they have their own set of information that they're relying on. And so presenting them with scientific facts and things does not seem to work. So barring that, how should we respond? Should we be putting social pressures on them? Should we be shunning them and shaming them publicly? Should we be disinviting them to family affairs? What should we, you know, how should we respond to them? Is there, you know, work being done in that area?
It's a really good question. I mean, I think, you know, we've gotten to the point where the initial burst of vaccinations where people were so eager to get them went over time and then it started fading. We have this kind of relatively resistant group of people. You know, I think the idea of having vaccine mandates, which nobody really likes, but that has actually spurred more vaccination. And, you know, there's, you know, companies, even our military, you know, there's 90%+ vaccination in those groups. And it's really just a very small percentage in certain areas that refuse to get vaccinated.
Well, and interestingly, healthcare workers. Aren't there a lot of healthcare workers that are not vaccinated?
There are. And, you know, the other thing that they're doing, some healthcare systems like the Houston Methodist, they said, you don't get vaccinated, you don't work here. And they fired a bunch of nurses because they refused to get vaccinated. You know, it does, especially for a healthcare system, it does put a lot of burden on them, too, to make sure that you're not transmitting the virus to the patients. So,
but yeah, we can't have that in Florida. Our political leaders have passed laws that prohibit vaccine mandates. And, you know, even with private employers, there are, you know, there's so much confusion over what private employers can require mm-hmm. in Florida. It's a subject of litigation. And, you know, so we can't really have those vaccine mandates. So the question then is, what can individual people, families do? I'm going to throw it out to our WMNF listeners and ask you, if you're planning a family gathering for this holiday, you know, what is your plan, if you have one, for anybody in your life who isn't vaccinated? Are you going to invite them? Are you going to try to politely tell them that they can't come because they're not vaccinated? Are you going to demand that they be tested at the door of your event with a rapid test? Or, you know, what is your plan? I know for me personally, I feel like I have no compunction about shunning people who choose not to be vaccinated for non-medical reasons. You know, I have no problem with that. But I, you know, I've gotten pushback from other people who say that that's, you know, a lack of empathy on my part, and I should be more open to those people because they have, what, for whatever reason, they have some, you know, major resistance and fear about getting vaccinated. And I don't really care, you know?
Well, I want to read this email from Karen, and Karen in Dunedin, we'd love to have you call us at 239-9663 and chat with us about this. Karen says, I am boosted. One of my adult children out of six is vaxxed. Three grandkids not vaxxed, spending Christmas Eve with them, taking the chance. So I would say Karen probably does not want to shun five of her adult children. And I think, I know for myself, I have a friend, somebody I'm not super close with, who chose not to get vaccinated. I've always thought she was a really awesome person, so I'm not painting her with that brush. And same, my brother was slow to get vaccinated, finally did, but I also have a friend whose son is not getting vaccinated. He had COVID once, he just got it again. So I feel like it's hard to all of a sudden start painting these people with a brush when they're people we love and care about, you know?
Yeah, that's the question. I agree. That is the question. I mean, I have a friend who's two young adult kids are refusing to get vaccinated, saying, you know, and I asked them, well, why will you not get vaccinated? They said, we want to have children someday.
Right. Dr. Tang, what's safe, though? What can we do? I mean, and again, I feel like I think what Karen says is taking a chance that she's probably like, I'll tell you, there's another story. I know a family whose, their 89-year-old grandparents are coming to town, mm-hmm. and they're going to stay in a house with their grown children and grandchildren and great-grandchild. And the parents are worried about the grandparents. They're like, mm-hmm. I don't know if you should be here. Maybe you should stay home. And they're like, we're 89. We're going to die pretty soon anyway. We stayed home last year. We want to see the grandkids.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that safely. Right, you just need to make sure that, I think, you know, when you have great grandparents coming in, the most probable vector for introducing infection in the house is kids, right? Because they're unvaccinated, they tend to congregate with a lot of other kids. You know, I've thought about this a lot too, because shunning doesn't work.
Doesn't work in terms of inducing them to get
vaccinated, mm-hmm. and. You know, I think the way I look at it is you just got to keep trying, right? You just got to keep telling them what's going to happen. And, you know, I think now there are some people that were expecting the monoclonal antibodies to cure their disease once they got it. Well, with Omicron, the monoclonal antibodies don't work anymore.
Yeah. Right.
So now you lose that safety net. And so now you can see that it's a little more dire. So there's, you know, everything's evolving. Kind of we're watching this pandemic evolve in real time, and information changes.
Well, that's interesting because you said tell them what's going to happen, but I think one of the issues is that we don't know what's going to happen. I think that's one of the problem is that mm-hmm. it keeps on changing, and it may keep on. Our phones are ringing off the hook. And I want to grab Karen because I asked Karen to call, and this is Karen in Dunedin who says that she is going to gather with her family. Karen, you're on the air. You there?
Hi there. Yes, I'm here.
So, Karen, tell us about that. You're saying you want to take the chance with your five of your adult children. Out of your adult children are not vaccinated. Is this by choice, or do they have underlying conditions that keep them from getting vaccinated?
Okay, well, they're spouses of children, too. So I actually only have three. My my one child is vaccinated. I have his wife is pregnant. She's not getting vaccinated. Her mother works at All Children's, and we've both tried to encourage them. My daughter is due to have a baby in January. Totally against the vaccine.
And you're not concerned about spending. You feel like since you're boosted, if you're going to get sick, it's not going to be bad. So you want to spend time with your family.
Exactly. Because I know that I've been precautious when I go to the store and stuff. So I know they're not getting it from me.
Right.
And they're out there. They're living their life like there's no virus. So.
Yeah, I mean, I know people who are literally walking around with Omicron and they're not even quarantining. I mean, and right. To me, that just feels, as somebody pointed out to me, like when people would go out with AIDS, I think, and have mm-hmm. sex with people right. and infect them knowingly, they were prosecuted. So, right. But here we have people just walking around and because they're you think it's a hoax or they think that people are panicked for no reason.
Or they think it's a cold. They just are having a cold, but the next person may have,
Right. They have symptoms, but they're not getting tested. They don't really, they're not really thinking about this in a community sense.
Yeah.
Right? We have to beat this as a population rather than my own individual worry is not that great.
So. Because part of it has been so, part of the reason is it's been so politicized that we have, political leaders saying things that the common good is communistic, is communist. Mm-hmm. In fact, just recently, one of the things that really floored me was that Ron DeSantis has removed the commercials, TV commercials that were paid for by the COVID relief funds and created to promote vaccination, and just recently removed them, and a new set of commercials with this new Department of Health head, Dr. What is it, Latipo? Latipo?
I don't know.
Latipo. A new set of commercials has just come out this week where he doesn't mention the word vaccine. He just tells people to stay healthy, take your vitamins, get exercise, keep your immune system
healthy. It's
worse that
the commercial has vaccinations lumped in with things like taking zinc.
Right.
Karen, thanks for the email and thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Have a great holiday, guys.
Thank Stay you. Safe, Karen.
I want to read, we got a couple of text messages. One person says, from Winter Haven, I resent people who aren't vaccinated. My insurance rates went up a lot this year because of these yahoos. I feel they should pay for their own care, not me. And then we've got somebody else who says, I'm tired of whiny biatches who won't get vaccinated and or wear a mask. What does the doctor think about the alternative wellness community folks who refuse to get vaccinated? I mean, I've definitely, it's both ends of the spectrum,
it's
right?
Both ends of the spectrum. If you're not getting vaccinated, you're basically, it really is just, it's a community thing. Transmission happens in a community. Transmission doesn't happen between just an individual. The actual chance of you getting infected every day is pretty low. It's just the accumulation of days. If you have that same chance, and the more that it transmits within the population, the higher that rate is. So this is kind of a test for our society.
Here's a good question for you, doctor. We have somebody who says, tell your kids if they want to have kids, they had better get vaxxed. COVID-19 decreases sperm count. Is this a fact?
It can infect the testes, but I'm not sure if it's decreasing sperm count. Really, the fact of the matter is if you get vaccinated when you're pregnant, you're actually protecting your child because mother's antibodies go in transplacentally into the child. So for that first 6 months of life, your child will actually get protective antibodies if you get vaccinated.
So pregnant people are advised to get the vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing, so this is the problem, that they don't do clinical studies on pregnant people. And so we don't have great data. But now that we've had so many pregnant people get vaccinated, we can see that they transfer the antibodies to the kids. We can see that there's no
different
side effects than we normally see with other people.
So. Let's take another call. We've got Nick in Tampa. Nick, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
It's just an interesting thing that we have where we're saying, and maybe it's not okay, but you can shun people who choose not to get vaccinated and don't spend time with them, but not the people who, obviously, it's medical need or what have you. They're not any less dangerous because they didn't get vaccinated because of medical need. They're equally as dangerous to you, and I'm not saying you can shun any of them.
I see.
Also, it's interesting what our outrage is about, because, like, alcohol, for example, kills 2.5 million people a year. And we promote it and spend billions promoting it, and it's perfectly okay. And over the holidays, we'll serve it to our relatives and joke about when the kids are 21. It's involved in 50% of murders in one way or another. And there's not an ounce of outrage.
Yeah, very good point there.
But, like, with this, there's outrage. And it's extremely interesting what our selective outrage over what's killing people. When 2.5 million people over the past couple hundred years is a lot more than this. It's not to say this isn't dangerous, but where do we choose to get pissed? Where do we choose to shun people? Because unlike COVID, alcohol is completely a choice. 100%. So, like, or even all the people who are dying are largely, not all, obviously, with comorbidities because they're 400 pounds or 300 pounds overweight. And that's not to say everybody, but that is largely a choice. Some of the comorbidities, obviously not things like asthma and what have you, but if you are diabetic due to the fact that you're 200 pounds overweight and you pass away from COVID, it probably largely has to do with that, not the fact that you unfortunately came down with COVID.
Right.
All right, let's ask the doctor about that, Nick. Those are some good points.
Thanks for calling.
What do you think about Nick's point?
Well, so, I mean, I think, you know, talking about shunning people, we started doing that with tobacco, right? Tobacco is a choice, and we've turned it into a kind of a smaller, much smaller proportion of the people who are smoking and then dying of lung cancer. You know, it's a problem. You can't really shun the people who are medically at risk who can't get vaccinated. Yes, they are. They can get infected. They can transmit it. They're probably more worried about going to the hospital because they already know that they're not going to be immunized against this virus.
And there's a lot of COVID in the hospital.
And there's a lot of COVID in the hospital, right?
Yeah. It's like you don't want to go to the hospital because you'll get sick there.
Right.
Yeah.
We've got a listener in Sarasota. Charlie in Sarasota. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi. Well, I don't look at the word shun. I do have empathy for the people who chose not to get vaccinated if they have a valid reason, you know, like a medical reason. But if for any other reason they chose not to, then yeah, I chose not to be with those people, whether it's family or friends.
So have you told them that?
Have you told
family and friends that either you're not going to be with them or they're not welcome to be with you because of their vaccination status?
Right, I have.
Was that a difficult conversation?
Yeah, and I probably lost a couple friends, but, you know, here's what it is. Our country became so divided when Trump was president, and I hate to say it, I know it's not one person's fault, but he has caused such a division in our country. Mm-hmm. And I think if he had not, we would have had more people on board getting vaccinated from the get-go. Mm.
And he just got booed when he said he was boosted.
Yeah, his own people have turned against him when he admitted that he got a booster shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Frankenstein's monster.
But I think you make a good point. There's so much stuff that's wrapped up in this divisiveness in the country, and it's become politicized, and this is really a matter of life and death, and existential, really. I mean, how are we going to live as human beings going forward?
Right.
I mean, I do have empathy for those people who have kind of got sucked into this disinformation, Facebook, you know, social media thing, because they're following what they think is correct, but they're just getting their information from the wrong sources.
And I think, like, I was in the medical field. I'm a nurse. But I think that the medical people should be vaccinated because we took an oath. And it's to protect and do no harm. And if you're not vaccinated, you're putting your patients at risk, as well as your coworkers and your fellow, you know, doctors, whoever, you know, you surround yourself with in a hospital. I think as a nurse and as a physician, you have a moral obligation to get vaccinated too, because you took that oath.
Yeah.
Well, and thank you, Charlie. Thanks for calling.
I think that's true of the military, too, because, I mean, you know, they're our, literally our line of defense. And if you have a military that's sick or, you know, so reduced in population because so many are sick, that's, you know, that's like a national security issue.
Yeah, well, we saw that when they had the outbreak in on the aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
They had to bring the aircraft carrier in because they had this huge outbreak.
Right.
That decreases our preparedness. So, you know, the vaccine mandates for military are pretty strict.
Yeah, and I just see now that the Army has come up with a brand new single vaccine against all COVID and SARS variants that they're going to release in this coming week.
Now, I heard that this morning, and how do they know that it's going to work against all variants? Isn't that just the whole concept of a variant is that it's unknown? It's going. I mean, the virus is really, I feel like, they're an enemy. This is a war with this disease or whatever it is on humanity, and it's going to keep on changing. So how do they know that this is going to protect against future variants?
Right. So the idea behind this is what they call a pan-coronavirus vaccine. So it's going to recognize not just SARS-CoV-2, but it can recognize, you know, it can allow your immune system to recognize SARS-CoV-1, the Middle East Respiratory System virus, so anything that's related to this family of viruses. People have been working on this for a while. And there's a number of these pan-coronavirus vaccines in development. The one from the Army, that must be Walter Reed's.
It is, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's only in phase one trial, so that's not coming out anytime soon.
Yeah.
It says within weeks.
They're going to do an announcement.
Well,
about,
they might put it, they still have to go through phase two and phase three trials, and I think the difficulty there is to try to find, maybe this is the good thing about having unvaccinated people, maybe they will be willing to take an experimental vaccine and not the real
probably
vaccine.
Not.
Probably
doubtful.
Not, but, you know, but these trials are really difficult because you need unvaccinated people.
If you're just tuning in, this is WMNF's Midpoint, and we've got Dr. Michael Tang from the University of South Florida College of Medicine with us talking about COVID. We have an email from somebody, Suzanne, who asks, my chiropractor refuses to get vaccinated. She says she had COVID over a year ago and therefore doesn't need it. She has never worn a mask, which I do when I'm there. Is she right or not? And I can tell you, Suzanne, that I know somebody who had COVID early on in 2020 and has it now. Yeah. Never got vaccinated and has it again. But what?
Yep.
There's waning natural immunity too.
Yeah, there's waning natural immunity. You are three times more likely to get Omicron than Delta if you had previous infection. You know, you've got to think about it this way. So our vaccines, you know, you get two doses of the mRNA, but we're getting boosters. This is like a second dose, right? So the first primary series gives you some immunity, and it gave us pretty good immunity for the first, you know, 6 months or so. But that's the same if with an infection. These coronaviruses, generally speaking, don't give us great immunity, don't give us long-lived immunity. So, you know, you're going to be reinfected if you don't get vaccinated and boosted.
We've got our other guest on the phone, Linda or Ryan. Are you there?
It's Linda.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in. And you all planned a big event, or you're in the middle of planning a big event right now. Is that correct?
We planned it, and it was on December 4th, actually.
So that was kind of before the big Omicron wave. But you, from what I understand, made a decision that everybody who was going to attend the event was going to be rapid tested for COVID at the door. Is that right?
That's correct.
And so as hosts, you purchased enough for, what was it, like 90 guests to be tested at the door of your event?
we didn't have to buy really very many at all. There's a company, and I think there are several companies across the country, but we hired a company or contracted with a company that bills your individual insurance or the government, and you fill out a questionnaire. The person registers, and they fill out a health questionnaire about exposures, which, you know, these days in Tampa, you know, kids are in school, people are working, you know, most people have exposure. And they sent a tech or a nurse, I'm not honestly sure, and sent all the tests, and there was no out-of-pocket expense for anybody.
So wow. Everybody had to bring their own health insurance card to your event?
They put it on, they registered online. And yeah, they registered online, you know, which was a big, you know, that was a leap of faith on our part that people would be willing to do it. I think there was one person who, you know, just decided not to come because of that, which was totally fine. That's their choice. But that was sort of the degree of safety that we felt we needed. It was an indoor event, mm-hmm. Which, of course, we planned before we'd ever heard of Omicron. So I was really, really glad that we had made that decision. But, you know, we'd been so careful all along. Our son's bar mitzvah was, this was a party for our son's bar mitzvah, and his bar mitzvah was in March, and there were eight of us, plus the clergy, masked in the synagogue. And he'd waited all this time, and he really wanted a party, like his older brother had. And we felt like we could do it. We put it together in 6 weeks. This company, you know, it wasn't without hitches by any stretch of the imagination. There was a little bit of a backlog getting everybody through, but everybody was super kind and patient, and everybody just wanted to be able to have fun and not worry about it. And, you know, I can safely say that we're enough time out from the event that we didn't have any cases pop up as a result. And it was a big success.
That's great. I went to a bar mitzvah in Chicago in October, and they had two separate parties because this was before kids were being widely vaccinated. So they had a party for the kids and after the bar mitzvah. So they had the bar mitzvah in the synagogue, socially distanced in the synagogue, could wear masks through the whole service. But then we had two separate parties, one for the adults and one for the kids. And then in our goodie bags in the hotels for all the out-of-town guests, we had COVID tests along with our nuts and popcorn.
That's interesting, too. So they were willing to let you make your own decision, you know, about...
You had to... They wanted only vaccinated people and they wanted to come.
Yeah.
And that caused a little bit of an issue. There were a couple of people who were not vaccinated who actually ended up getting vaccinated before the bar mitzvah, not because of that, but they ended up getting vaccinated. But awkward conversations. And then... had us, you know, when you got to the hotel, you had your test, and you would have to upload your test results to some sort of text them to someplace. I don't know where we texted them to.
So they did ask that you.
Yeah, but then they told us later they did not even look. Uh-huh. So right. I guess they were just counting on people saying if they tested positive, they wouldn't go. And I have to say, it was a little bit my moment in the hotel room when I'm taking the test and I'm waiting for that whatever is the pink line.
Right. the double line.
Right.
Wow. So, Linda, so people actually like stood in line at the door to come into the event and got their test with the tech?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, we had a table set up outside, and it was not without, like I said, I mean, and my anxiety level when everybody was through was like I felt like I had been holding a boulder above my head the whole time. I was a lot more anxious than I even thought. And my own family was tested there because, you know, we didn't want to ask something of our guests that we didn't do ourselves. And but we were just, you know, I know we were lucky. Like, don't get me wrong. I know we were lucky. But it was largely also, I should say, you know, most of the kids there are kids that my son goes to school with. There, I knew that almost everybody was vaccinated. There were, you know, a couple of outliers, you know, some younger kids, some who weren't fully vaccinated, stuff like that.
What's the company that provides this service?
The company we used is called Beeper MD, and I just found them in a Google search.
Beeper, like Roadrunner, beep, beep, beeper?
Yep.
Beeper MD.
Okay.
Huh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I guess, you know, asking people to respond on a website, I mean, it's no different from like people who have like a wedding registry or something.
Right.
Or a wedding weekend website, you know, where they go in and find the details of where the hotel is and when the brunch is and all that. I mean, you know, these are really first world, you know, upper class things that people are doing. I don't imagine that this is, you know, available to everybody. But it's interesting to me that places of worship, for example, are not offering this. They're basically keeping their doors open during the Christmas holidays and inviting people to come in, you know, I imagine for midnight mass and things like that.
Yeah, and the problem with our places of worship is a lot of them tend to be older buildings which don't have very good ventilation.
Yeah.
And this becomes a problem, right? Because then you think you're going to be sitting there for an hour, hopefully with people with the masks on at least. But, you know, ventilation is a big part. Again,
that's a problem with the schools, too.
It's a big problem with our schools as well.
We barely have AC, let alone, you know, UVA. What is it? UVA, UV light, virus
just
zappers.
Just getting the air moving in the school is good, right?
Yeah.
But opening the windows is not possible in some of our schools as
right.
well.
I thought this is an interesting email from Jeff. Before the vaccines came along, there were protocols we followed to deal with the pandemic. We have found ways to deal with work and communication, such as online tools. It was bad then, but we dealt with it. I think we have to just keep living as if there is a pandemic that we have to be wary of. Vaccines might help, but it is not a complete solution. And I start having this weird vision of the world where we all are living in a metaverse and communicating in our little bubbles at home. We just stay in our homes and we only interact with people through virtual reality and augmented reality. We're all just moving in the world and with avatars because there's this horrible disease and we can't live in the climate. It's too hot out there.
Janet, you know? Stop talking until you can copyright protect that idea.
That's a good idea. That's what Zuckerberg is trying to do with Facebook already. So,
You know, it's true, though, that during the early days of the pandemic, there was kind of a bunker mentality. Mm-hmm. Everybody got their groceries delivered. Everybody wiped them down.
Oh, I did that once.
To the house. Yeah. You know, but that was more widespread
right.
than it is today. Today, people are like exhausted by this and they just want to move on.
Right. And so I think, you know, as we heard with this bar mitzvah party, there are ways of doing things that you can reduce the risk. We're never going to have a risk-free environment. And so, you know, this idea that we're never going to get infected with COVID, even if we're boosted, we know that can, it happens. It happens at a lower rate, obviously, than if you're not vaccinated. But, you know, zero COVID is not a way to live either.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, people are traveling in the holidays. If you're going to travel smartly, right? Mm-hmm. Do all the things that we know you're supposed to do to prevent exposure to the virus, or prevent at least coming into close contact with the virus. So, you know, I get it. I'm tired of this mask. I'm tired of all this stuff that we do. But you still have to realize this is a once in a lifetime, basically,
maybe.
Pandemic, right?
Yeah, maybe. It might be the rest of our lifetime.
Maybe. And with climate change, you know, there's
so many
opportunities for different kinds of virus mutations and diseases.
Yeah, and us going into deforesting the Amazon, for example.
Yeah, right. But let's take another call. We've got...
Thanks, Linda. Thanks for calling in, though. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We've got... let's take a call from Daryl in Tampa. Daryl, you're on the line.
Hey, how are y'all you're doing? I just happened to hear the young lady, your host, talking about empathy. And my understanding of empathy is that I might not be going through what you're going through. I might not have what you have, but I kind of have compassion for you. But I just want to throw out this scenario because this is like I've heard this hit song so many times before, and I'm tired of it. Let's just say I'm with a young lady, and the relationship grows and to the point where we're kissing, and it even gets intimate. And she informs me that she has HIV. How am I supposed to be empathetic with that person? How am I supposed to be empathetic with somebody who, by just breathing, they don't have a mask, they've never got any type of shot or anything, but I could be infected by you. How am I supposed to be empathetic by you? How am I supposed to be empathetic, even though we don't do that now because of COVID-19, to a funeral? How am I supposed to be empathetic with a corpse?
Well, that's the question, isn't it, Daryl?
Yes,
I mean,
it is, ma'am.
That's the question. Do people owe each other the responsibility and the duty to inform each other if they feel like they have symptoms, I mean, or if they've been tested positive? If their symptoms are so mild, or some people are infected and have no symptoms whatsoever, if they have no symptoms, let me ask the doctor, are they contagious? Are they infectious if they have no symptoms? Isn't it sort of like the viral load has to be high enough to be transmissible or something like that?
I will say this, and I will hang up the phone. I know you probably got other callers. I know a young lady who was a tech in a dialysis center, and they were sniffling around, and they got really sick, and they got COVID, and they were away for about a month and a half, but they survived it. I believe they got the shot, and they're perky and everything right now, and, you know, because of HIPAA, I can't get into their personal business. But I know. But it's like I would tell them, I'm glad that you're okay. I'm glad. And they were like giggling. Yeah, I'm glad I'm okay too.
They had not been vaccinated?
You like that before you get it?
Well, let's ask the doctor, Daryl. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate your discussion. Thank you. Let's ask the doctor. Go back to my question. If you have no symptoms of COVID, none, and somehow you found out you were positive. You went to, like, Linda's bar mitzvah or something and got a test, and you found out you were positive. I mean, are you transmissible? Are you infectious? Are you contagious?
That was one of the shocking things. Early in the pandemic, we didn't, because we expected symptomatic people to be transmitting the virus.
Right.
Like we saw with the first SARS coronavirus. But, yeah, you can transmit the virus before you get symptoms, and you can transmit it even if you don't get symptoms.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Even if you have no symptoms. So you need to be careful of. So we could be walking around or sitting here in front of our microphones right now with Omicron, have no symptoms, not know, and be infecting each other right now.
Well, we're 6 feet apart. We've got some plexiglass between us, Shelley.
Yeah, but
it's about risk reduction,
yes.
Right? I'm vaccinated, boosted.
Right.
I'm vaccinated, boosted,
too.
So
I'm immortal.
So, you know, if we are spreading it, the likelihood that we're going to have severe consequences is pretty low, and we are distanced. So it's, again, it's not. There's no such thing as zero COVID.
Zero COVID is not
going to happen.
It's not going to happen. So that whole, like, herd immunity thing, we've left that far behind now, right?
Yeah. Well, the problem with herd immunity is that I think people had the wrong idea about herd immunity. Herd immunity doesn't mean like it's just going to go away. Herd immunity means that we get transmission to a low point where it's only, you know, pockets of infection at a time, rather than this kind of global infection that we're seeing.
Okay.
So that's the idea of herd immunity. It's not really just we're going to
all
get immune and eradicate it that way. That just never happens.
Okay.
If you're just tuning in, we've got Dr. Michael Tang from the University of South Florida College of Medicine with us, and we're talking about COVID, and we're also talking about how we're managing COVID during the holidays. Let's take another call. We've got another call from Sarasota. Robin in Sarasota, you're on the line.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Good. You know, one thing I'm curious about this whole thing is education. I mean, I paid attention in biology, I paid attention in civics, and I paid attention in history. And so these are three subjects we don't really talk that much about. I mean, you have to have some idea of, you know, what this kind of thing is. There was the Justinian plague that lasted 27 years. The Black Plague lasted for quite some time, and now we have international travel.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody can get on an airplane in, you know, any country and fly to America and be positive. And, you know, it's just so fast to get from one place to another. I mean, there used to be you know, this fear of strangers. I forget what it was called.
Xenophobia.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. But it was just like, he's a stranger, he's not from here, let's kill him.
He might carry disease. Well, again, yeah, that gets back to what I was saying about the living in a metaverse where we just don't leave our little pods. We stay in our pods.
No.
And the automatic, everything is automated to bring us food.
And it's only going to get
replicator.
The replicator, right.
I mean, gosh, dancing may be, you know, a thing of the past. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, the tango is really dangerous. as a transmission vector, you don't want to be tangoing anymore.
Exactly. You're 35 feet away and we're dancing.
Right.
All right. No more close to you. I want to be close to you. all those songs are gone now.
Exactly. Well,
you know, I think the one thing is that as a population, we start getting immunity. And we have circulating seasonal coronaviruses that cause a common cold.
Yeah.
A lot of the times that we have these relatively milder diseases is because we have pre-existing immunity. So if we have to boost ourselves, because we don't want to get vaccinated, we want to boost ourselves with getting infected, reinfected, you know, that's one thing. But eventually, the human population will get immunity to this virus. And I think we'll start seeing less symptoms, and so I don't think dancing is part of the past. I think we'll be dancing.
That's what they do. That's how they survive. They mutate.
Right.
All right.
Thank you, Robin.
Hey, we have an email from Nick, Nurse Nick, a text message. I'm sorry. Nurse Nick wants to tell us that how important it is to get vaccinated. He says, I got my shots. I had a semen analysis recently, and I had one before the shot and one after. All the same, there are a few medical reasons not to get your shot. So thanks for that, Nick. Hopefully that gave some of our listeners some comfort, and we really appreciate that. Stay healthy in the hospital, Nurse Nick.
And Nurse Nick describes it as a public health issue. Getting vaccinated helps your family. It's an easy thing to do.
Right, of course.
It's not a medical thing. I mean, people, I think we have a little bit more trouble in this country because we have kind of this history of individualism, right? That rugged frontiersman that goes out and, you know, builds his own cabin with his own two hands. This is all about community. We don't win wars by ourselves,
right?
It's not the one guy on the hill that beats back the enemy. It's the entire army and navy. It's not just the frontline people. It's the logistics people behind them, getting them what they need. So if we don't do this together, it's just going to take a lot longer.
We have lost that sense of the common good and that sense of a community. We have really lost that. I mean, that was one of the things that you know, Joe Biden sort of ran on, was trying to get back to that. It doesn't seem to be working, though, right now, at least not yet. I mean, there's so much resistance to vaccines. There's so much resistance to things like, you know, doing things for the common good, all the things that are in that Build Back Better bill, you know, that could help the community. You know, there's so much resistance to that. I don't know how we fix that. I really don't.
We're
so divided.
Right, because we're more interested in those things that divide us rather than those things that join us.
Right.
It's not, we all love this country. I mean, this is a fantastic country where we have all the coolest toys, right? We're all sitting around with cell phones and you know, all this stuff. But then we focus on these kind of disagreements that we have, because that's what helps us define who we are. I don't even know. I mean, I'm not a psychologist or anything, but this is, it's a problem, and we need to find some way of bringing us back together so we can fight common problems.
Yes, it's become very tribal, and the focus has become on turning people into the other instead of finding our commonality, and it's hurting us, literally hurting us in terms of our health. You know, this is a perfect example, this pandemic.
We've got, let's take another call. We've got Dan. Dan in Tampa, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
I can pop the hatch. Yeah.
Oh, okay, looks like Dan got distracted. Okay. Let's read. We've got a bunch of emails here that we can read too. I thought that this was a good one too. So before this horrible current virus, didn't we have really bad viruses, flu seasons prior to COVID, whereby some folks took the flu shot and some folks didn't? You're telling me that you would not invite people over for the holidays if they didn't have the flu shot back in the day and y'all did. This is also confusing to me. And that's Pete in Indian Shores. I'm not a flu shot person. I've only had one flu shot. I got it this year when my doctor told me to do it. Mm-hmm. I've never done it in the past. I've only had the flu once. I hope I never get it again because I literally thought I was going to die. I was literally Googling flu and death. It was so horrible. So I feel like, you know, I don't want to get the flu either. I don't want to be around, you know, and the vaccine, yes, it's a different thing. I feel like the vaccine and the flu, we got that we get that vaccine every year and there's still flus that break through it. Mm-hmm. So how is this different from the flu vaccine?
Yeah, flu. So this would be more like if it were 1918 and there was a flu vaccine out and nobody was getting or people were not getting it. This is a completely different beast than the seasonal flus that we have. The seasonal flus that we have, they cause disease. We still end up having, you know,
some deaths.
Between 15 and 30,000 deaths in mm-hmm. the United States due to flu, although not in the last couple of years because of all of our
COVID, because we're all wearing masks COVID, and washing our hands and staying in. And
so it's not as dire a problem. You know, because flu comes back every year, it has turned into a seasonal virus that comes back and causes, you know, relatively, you know, mild, moderate disease. We're hoping that at some point this SARS coronavirus 2 will end up following its predecessors, like the seasonal coronaviruses, become seasonal once we start having more immunity in the population. But, you know, it's really different because if you don't get a flu shot, most of the time it's not
fatal.
Right.
Yeah. But I want to respond to Pete too, who says, like, would you shun somebody because they didn't get a flu shot? I don't think so, but I would certainly say to somebody who told me they had the flu, don't come over.
100%. You know? Yep. You know? Yeah. Stay home.
I'm not coming over. Stay home. I'll drop soup at your doorstep.
Right.
Or, you know, let me know if you need me to pick up some medication from CVS or something, but I wouldn't invite them over. You know, I mean, that's different. That's different from shunning. That's just common sense.
Right.
You know,
and the other part of it too, is that flu transmits when you're symptomatic.
Yeah.
And it transmits through what we call fomites. These droplets, the reason that we have hand sanitizers and all that thing, that's really for flu. Mm-hmm. The coronavirus, this SARS-CoV-2 actually transmits mostly through aerosol transmission, mm-hmm. airborne transmission, and it can transmit pre-symptomatically, asymptomatically. So this is much more of a problem than flu is because we can tell when somebody has flu mm-hmm. because they're sick.
Right, and they get a fever.
You know, they're in bed.
Right.
Well, and speaking of that, not wanting to get the flu, I mean, even with the pandemic is over, I might still wear a mask on planes because I had many times in the past where I would take a plane, go on a trip somewhere, and I'd get sick. I'd hear people all around me sneezing and coughing and be thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to be sick in 3 days. Sure enough, that's what would happen. So why not just wear a mask? And I've long been grossed out by touching things like subway poles and escalator railings and stuff. Right. So I stay away from that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of the Asian countries, they do this.
Yeah,
they wear a mask in public.
Especially during flu season, cold season. You know, if you're sick, just wear a mask. You prevent transmission.
Right.
And are they doing that for the health reasons or the air pollution? Is it both or...
That's
in
both,
China, yeah.
But you see a lot more during, you know, flu season, cold season.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for being here with us. We're about out of time. Mm-hmm. So thank you for being here with us, Dr. Tang. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Frank, for answering the phones. Thanks to all of our listeners. Thanks for everyone who called in. Thanks for everyone who sent an email. Stay tuned for NPR News up next, followed by Duncan Strauss with Talking with the Animals. This is WMNF in Tampa.